Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects. Hello, everyone up and down the Kuskokwim River. My name is Petra Harpuk. Today is August 10th. This morning, I have Colleen Chase on the line. She's in Tuksuk Bay right now. Hi, good morning, Colleen. How are you?
I'm fine.
Tell us what's happening on August 31st.
The 20th annual Lockberry Festival is happening in Tuksuk Bay on August 31st until September 2. The selected bands will be playing and the fiddle, nice Bethel band, emo band, and tundra mix. Some activities that will include are co-ed basketball, blackberry picking contest for all ages, aguruk contest, krispuk contest, epic jeopardy, some games, salmon derby, and some raffle items that are now available to purchase are Honda Foreman 500, 22 cubic foot chest freezer, 12 gauge automatic shotgun, iPhone X and Samsung 9, 40,000 Alaska Airline miles, GPS Garmin 76S, a computerized Singer sewing machine, a steel chainsaw, 16-inch steel chainsaw, $2,000 cash, and there will be much more raffle items. All raffle items are sold separately.
Do you know if you guys are having any special airfares going out to Tuksuk?
I'm not sure about that. The airlines maybe will start announcing their special airfares.
And how can people get a hold of you for more information?
For more information about the Blackberry Festival, I could be reached at the City of Tuksuk Bay during normal business hours, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, at 427-7613.
And if people want to purchase some raffle tickets, can they call with their credit and debit cards?
Certainly. People could call with their credit and their debit card to purchase these tickets. The three items, the four-wheeler, the freezer, and the 12-gauge shotgun, the automatic shotgun, those three items are $5 a ticket, for $20, and then all the rest of the items are $2 a ticket and $10 for 6 tickets. Each raffle item ticket are sold separately.
Nice. I want the GPS and the shotgun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us know. The 20th Annual Blackberry Festival will happen in Tuksuk Bay on August 31st until September 2nd. And for more information, call Colleen Chase at 427-7613. You have a nice day.
Thank you, Petra.
All right. Bura.
Bura.
Good morning, Danny Sai. You're on air with Mark Leary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how are the river conditions up there?
The river crested about 2 or 3 days ago. It was really high. It went over the bank and went on parts of the road down towards downtown. But I was wondering if it ever hit downriver portions yet, if the water raised down there yet.
I spoke to Eric Morgan in Juwakpalak this morning, and he was saying that the water was rising steadily.
Oh, I see. I guess there was a lot of stuff floating on the river, too, about two to three days ago, logs. It's dropping rapidly right now, though.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't heard you, Mark, in a long while. So how are the river conditions?
Well, before I give a little report, could I say good morning to a few people?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to say good morning to my son Ben and my almost son Jacob in the Paiute, and my daughters Megan and Audrey, and grandson Diana Man and Moose Man in Aniak. And I'd also like to say good morning to Scott Sakar and Sherman Kalila, and happy belated birthday to Scott. And thank you guys for all your help this summer.
So what's the update for the Kuskokwim River?
Well, Shirley and I brought our log raft down from the Pinehurst this week, and we were on the water 54 hours straight, traveling 4 or 5 miles an hour. So it gives you a lot of time to study the river and see what's going on. In answering Dan's question, you know, the Nikolai's maybe, what, over 500 miles above Bethel. So a lot of times what happens way up there, by the time it comes down the river, it spreads out quite a bit, and the effect is quite a bit less. At Napanuit, the water raised 6 inches, and then it started dropping. And I checked the Kuskokwim River gauge at Crooked Creek every day. It helps me plan. And I'm checking it this morning, yeah, the river's been dropping steadily for the past couple of days from Crooked Creek on down. It didn't bring much junk with it, debris. I saw a few sticks here and there. Probably most notable thing to talk about, you know, is having that much time on the river and going that slow really gave me a chance to study the river and see what changes took place over the summer. Because we had a summer of mostly high water, you know, and that seems to be the time when the river changes the most during high water. You know, the water's up, the current's swifter, it moves things around. And thinking about moose season coming up and people heading up the river, maybe some of them for the first time this summer, there's a few changes to be aware of, especially in the, when you get into the sand area. You know, once the gravel doesn't move as easy as the sand in high water, there's some changes, not much. But when you get down below the bluffs, below Kalskeg on down, and especially in the Tulip Shack area, there's been some pretty interesting changes. First one that comes to my mind is, if you're familiar with the big Nelson Island above Tulip Shack, and there's a channel on the west side and a channel on the east. You know, most barge and boat traffic use the west channel. In the past 2 years, though, we've been putting the ice road on the east channel because it's been safer. But I was going through there day before yesterday with the raft. And you know what? In that west channel, there's a little tiny island, really tiny, and it's been getting smaller every year. And I've been teasing my Nikolai Napoca, that's his island, I named it after him, because it's getting smaller every year and it's going to go away probably. But it really made that island smaller this year, and it dragged, the current dragged the sand way over towards the cut bank where the main channel has been, where the barges go. That I was looking at it from a long distance. Darn, looks like it's blocked. I got the binoculars. You know, there's lots of time when you're going that slow. And I looked. There's still got to be a channel behind it. It has to be. So I went ahead and went through there. There still is a channel. It sure moved a lot of sand this summer. And I talked to Took. He was coming up with the barge, and I asked him, which way you guys going with the barge now. And he said, they're still going that way. It's a tight squeeze, but it looked like the, I was watching local people traveling, Chilkat people watching them. They're mostly all traveling now on the west side of Nikolayna Polka's little tiny island. It's gotten wide and deeper. And then, yeah, from Chilkat to Akyak, it's changed. Not too much, but probably second most notable thing I saw was, you know, that shortcut right across Akyak, right above and across Akyak, where everybody goes and where the ice road's been going. I came in, started entering the upper end of it, and I started seeing sticks sticking up. And, you know, sometimes those sticks are long, and it's really is deep. But there was a couple of them, and one was a little skinny stick, and I was thinking, you know, that's a sign of shallow water. I didn't have a depth finder. But I went through there okay, and I saw local people going through there. But in talking with Chuck, he said, yeah, that thing filled in quite a bit this summer. So if the water keeps dropping, going through that shortcut might be kind of sticky, might, you know, be cautious going through there. Those are a couple of the most noticeable things that I saw.
And so why is Nikolayna Polka's Island called Nikolayna Polka's Island?
Oh, because, you know, years ago, Earl and I were flying, doing a river survey right after freeze-up, and there was open hole by a little tiny island on the west side of the river below Majiwit. And we named that island Mike Napoka's Island, his brother. And because Mike used to always commercial fish behind that little tiny island. It was deep, 40 feet deep. And he'd always load up in there. So we named that Mike Napoka's Island. And Nikolai's been saying, when are you going to name an island after me? So I picked that little tiny island. Nikolai and I are always constantly teasing each other. So I picked that little tiny island that's slowly disappearing to be his island. But, you know, as you're coming down the river, every single part of the river along the route from the planet to Bessel is a memory or a story. And as I go down, I'm constantly, like, how you call it, on the internet, streaming in my head, this happened here, we did this over there, you know, we caught a moose over there, or, you know, the whole way is just a constant stream of memories. But on behalf of Bessel Search and Rescue, I wanted to do a little plug. You know, the bad part of all those memories is a lot of them aren't good, you know. The whole way down, I could see, look, my cousin Teddy drowned over there. Sergey drowned in that slough, you know, all the way down like that. There's places, constant places where we've lost people, you know. Terry Aloysius' Island, Gulga Napoka, you know, on and on. Tony Hall's Bend, and then you get into Kuskokwak Slough, and oh, the list is too long. You know, we lost three in one shot on a four-wheeler a few years ago. And then I remember Carly Jackson and Tim Williams Jr. And so there's a lot of sad memories as you travel along the river. And those memories are burned into us. We can't forget them. Edward Wise's, you're familiar with Edward Wise's camp halfway between Kalskag and Aniak. It'll be, this coming November, it'll be 20 years. He was spending freeze up in his camp and he disappeared. They found his boat, so he was presumed drowned, but, you know, never found. And I guess we never stopped looking for him, you know, even though it's been 20 years. every time I pass through there, I think of him and look for him. And he was a good man who served the people all over the region as a Moravian lay pastor. So, you know, that's the work that Bethel Search and Rescue and really all the search and rescue groups along the river do to reduce those sad memories, you know, so the river can be what it really is, a place of good memories, you know. We caught a moose over there, we got wood over there, we met so-and-so over there and had a picnic. We used to go swimming over there, you know, like that. So that's our job, and we're going to keep working hard to reduce the sad memories along the river.
Do you have any safety tips for weekend travelers?
Oh, it's easy, you know. Wear your flotation and don't drink and travel, you know. And other than that, it's really hard to get in trouble, you know. I was watching as we were coming down, especially, you know, the traffic. Until you get near Bethel, there's like hardly any traffic. All the way down from the Panu to Kalskeg, I saw two boats. You saw how it was when you were up there during fishing season, you know, and then no boats all the way down to below Tuxac, and then a few boats between Tuxac and Akiak. But yesterday, you know, from Queeflip down, you know, constant stream of boats. It's like being on a freeway. Boats coming and going, and watching, looking, see how many are using their flotation. I'm happy to say that not everybody's wearing, not all adults, but all the kids that I saw in boats all had flotation.
Did you wear your PFD?
Yeah. We're pushing the raft with the houseboat. And not when I'm inside the boat, but if I'm out on the raft or whatever. Only time we would stop would be like at midnight each night to tie up to the beach and rest and then start early in the morning again. And having small children in my family, again, my grandsons brought the importance of PFDs to kids back to being very important. One of my grandsons fell off the fish raft while they were cutting fish this summer, but he was wearing his PFD, and he floated fine. And the way they make them now for kids, you know, their heads stay good. I just ran out there in the water, you know, waist deep, and grabbed him. And he was scared, but, you know, that's what it takes. Each one of my kids had to fall off the fish raft, too, and they were small, and then they know, and they don't let it happen again.
So, Dan, is there much boating up there in Nikolai, and are people wearing their PFDs?
People are wearing their PFDs. They're starting to... They have rules, strict rules up here. So you're not getting in our boat unless if you're wearing PFD or find one. So they're starting to really hammer it down and hammer it into the kids. And they listen pretty much up here. Otherwise, they don't get to go hunting or fishing with me if they don't listen. And they don't like that very much. They'd rather listen to the boat rules. And there was a... Black bears are coming through town. Maybe that's because there's a shortage of berries. And I told those kids not to bike around or run around very much. And they listen pretty much. So we're keeping an eye out on them.
And what is the population in Nikolai?
I don't know, about 80 or between 80 and 100.
And did the...
There's a lot of out migration because lack of work around here.
And did the fuel prices rise a bit?
Yeah. No, it's still still at $8 a gallon for gas and diesel. But the boat traffic is slacked off quite a bit. Salmon is, we're done with salmon a long time ago. Now we're saving up money and gas for the moose hunting season that'll happen around September 1st. And we're getting excited, getting geared up, and saving money.
Do people catch silvers up there?
Yeah, it's going to come later on. And we're getting dogs. The fish wheel is starting to run right now, and the children are learning how to cut fish. I'm glad the young people cut fish all the way up and down the river. That's their heritage, and it's real hard, tough work. People don't realize how tough it is. And it's real. It's when you eat that half dry or salmon strips during the wintertime, and you just think of all the hard work that those people went through just to put up fish. And it's the same thing with moose jerky, too. It's hard work to make moose jerky. People don't realize that. But it's all good for the children. My nieces came back from Seattle area about a week ago, and boy, just happy. One of them is teething, so I'm going to go send her dry meat on mail plane, moose jerky with fat on there. That way, I guess she just fell in love with it as soon as she tried it. Big smile on her face, and she looked at the bag, and she started reaching toward it, and her mom said that kid just loves dry fish and moose jerky. She just pushed away the bottle, her baby bottle or whatnot. That's pretty cool.
Mark, is the fish wheel still running in Kalskag?
Yeah.
I mute.
Yeah. I saw Zorkbrookfish and Aniak and Kalskag were still using yours. In fact, Walter called me yesterday, Walter Morgan. He was excited. Guess what I need him? I don't know. King salmon. He said he caught a big, silver, fat king salmon. I said, wow, you're a lucky man. Almost the middle of August and eating a fresh king salmon.
I wonder if it was fat.
He said it was really oily. And it was still bright silver. You know, usually when you catch a king this time of the year, they're very red. Really bright and fat. It must have been heading for Dan's country.
Hey, Mark, that's strange because in that that historical book that Ray Collins made, the one that Megan brought down to the Paiute, in the old days, way upriver by Alaska Range, they said they were walking up there to go there do their fall hunting, and then they seen a big king salmon up by Dillinger. That's like about 30 miles upriver from here, 35 or 40 miles, and they found a king salmon on the beach that beached itself, and they hurry up and got it, and then they ate it, and they said it was still in good shape. They didn't know where it was going, but they were surprised. It wasn't no red salmon because they know the difference. It was a big, huge king salmon. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Petra, I had one more thing about the river that I needed to mention.
Okay, go ahead.
For people going moose hunting further up, people in Crooked Creek wanted me to remind people to watch out for that sandbar in the middle of the river below the village. You know, it's always tempting when you come around the bend there below Crooked and you see the village up there and to start aiming straight for it, but there's a sandbar hiding under the water, and over the years many a downriver hunter has piled up on that sandbar. So don't forget that sandbar if you're heading up there, and go, you know, follow the hillside.
I think they need to GPS the river from Kalskag all the way down to Bethel for us upriver people, because some people from McGrath a couple of years ago when they had that real low water, or last summer, had a tough time because there were some places where they said you could almost walk all the way across the river. They went down to Bethel to go pick up a boat, and they had a difficult time. Somebody needs to go sound it.
Well, we're getting close to the show coming up to an end, and I'd like to say thanks to Colleen, Dan, and Mark in making this show happen today. Thanks for tuning into Kapiak KYUK.